two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the toughest, most important job in the world.
Four kids. If you want to know what it's like to have a fourth, just imagine you're drowning, and then someone hands you a baby.
This is The Mom Show. It's where moms come to learn and share. Our host is Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome on in to The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us. A topic I want to talk about today that I've talked about often, but I think it can never get too much talking about, and that is what many women experience after having a child, and that is postpartum mood and anxiety disorders. Those can include postpartum depression, anxiety, OCD, PTSD. We often just hear about postpartum depression, but it is not the only mood disorder that is out there. And so a couple of my guests today are on the forefront of helping women through this experience, sharing their own stories and getting mothers the help that they need after having a baby. So welcoming to The Mom Show, McKenna Brown. She is.
Hello.
How are you, McKenna?
We're doing awesome. Okay, I'm excited and happy to be here.
I should have asked you this before we started, but you're like a former Miss Utah. Is that right?
Mrs.
Utah. Oh, she's got the ring and everything. A former Mrs. Utah. Oh, my gosh. That is so cool. You've been doing pageants your whole life? Is that just a thing you were doing?
Yeah. Teenage years up until. Yeah, I'm still heavily involved in many different circuits. So
cool. And then Megan Johnson joining us as well. Megan's been on the show before. She is with the Emily Effect. They're a nonprofit here in Utah, named after Emily Cook Dykes, Megan's sister, who suffered a mood and anxiety disorder and was killed a handful of years back. So the organization named in her honor. Megan, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for having me on, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure.
So good. And we're going to talk about an event you guys have coming up that's going to help raise awareness for moms with postpartum mood and anxiety disorders and raise money for the cause. But McKenna, let me start with you. Just walk me through your story a little bit. You have how many kids and when did this all start for you?
Yeah. So there's my husband walking. Hi. I'm a mother of four. I remember the day so clearly when, Emily passed, and I didn't know Megan, and I just saw the news article, and it was after the birth of my second, and I was just coming out, not just after, but I had had my second child, and I was coming out of that like fog, kind of looking back, going hindsight, thinking, I think I had a little bit of postpartum depression. And when I saw Emily's story, I thought, oh my gosh, maybe I should share my story, because mine wasn't as extreme at that moment, but there are so many different levels and variations of mental health and mood disorders, especially postpartum. And then it kind of just like phased out. And then after the birth of my fourth was when everything kind of came to a head. I really had those extreme situations, suicide ideation, the extreme depression and extreme anxiety, OCD, all the things kind of came to a head, and seeking help was the best thing I ever did. And it was through that journey of Emily and feeling her presence and then connecting with Megan and sharing my story, and now reaching and helping so many other women find strength and seeking help is kind of where we're at today. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, I know it's hard to boil down the experience because I've been through it too. I had postpartum anxiety and OCD with my first, and it's hard to boil it down into one experience. And you get, you know, I'm what, 8 years removed from it now. And the further you get from it, the further, you know, those memories fade. But when you're in it, it is all consuming. So, McKenna, walk me through a little bit more of the specifics. You said this all kind of came to a head after your fourth. What were some of your main symptoms? Yeah. How did you know you were really suffering?
So that's such a great question, because I think that's what our main purpose and focus is of the event coming up is anger. I didn't know that anger and rage and postpartum rage was a thing. And it was all encompassing. It was me fighting to stay above water. And it was like, I was always on simmer and I could boil over at any minute. And we're taught that like, oh, you're just an angry mom and wah, wah, wee, wah. But what we're learning is, you know, as children and adolescents, if they're in for anxiety and depression, the DSW says, anger is a sign of depression in adolescence, but it kind of loses it in the symptoms of adulthood and into maternal mental health. And so these new studies are coming out that postpartum rage, anger in general, whether or not you're pregnant or having maternal mental health, is a sign of depression. So that's what we're trying to share. This as it was that I was like, oh, I'm not a depressed person, but I was always angry. Mm. Well, anger is a huge variable of depression that we're just learning about. And we're hoping that through this event that Megan is putting on, and I'm so honored to be a part of with Sturi, that by sharing this story that other women can look inside and go, oh, it's not just me having suicide ideation and these extreme thoughts. There are so many different signs in the middle and towards the end, and you don't have to suffer. You don't just have to survive. You can thrive by seeking help before you get to these extreme situations.
I can remember, that is such a good point. I can remember when I was experiencing this with my first, I went to the dog park and I was with my dog and I just like let him off the leash, like in an appropriate area. And he got into a tussle with some other woman's dog. And I had the baby with me. I had my Lucy with me. And I just remember just seeing red and the steam coming out of my ears, and this lady snapped at me, and I had never experienced rage like that before, and it felt so uncharacteristic, right?
Well, it's
so,
like an out-of-body experience.
Yes, yes.
It's like my soul would leave my body, and then it would come back, and then what would happen is the downward spiral of like, oh my gosh, I've caused so much damage and harm to my family. And then you slip into the self-shame, which takes you to, they're better off without me. I'm not a good mother. And those self-shaming thoughts that take you to the darkest place.
Yes. And the way you describe it, an out-of-body experience, it did. It felt so uncharacteristic of me that you knew something was not right. You were just off.
But you
right?
couldn't help it.
Yeah.
It was just like a reaction.
Yeah. It's such
a trauma response is what we should say. It's like, it really is. We're going through trauma through the birth of a child, and we should not. In other countries, they take care of them for months and we're in a hospital for 2 days and they're like, on your way.
Yeah. Good luck.
You know?
Yeah. You don't need a license. You don't need anything to have a child. And yet it's the most intense experience and the most, dare I argue, important experience of your life. So it's crazy. Okay. Megan Johnson with the Emily Effect. Megan, I want you to hit your event coming up. Tell me how people can participate if they want to hear McKenna's story, if they want to learn more about postpartum depression, if they want their money to go to good cause to help women and mothers in Utah.
Yeah. So my mission right now with the Emily Effect is simply to just create awareness. And I found that the best way to do that is, you know, not only by sharing Emily's story like we have for these past almost 7 years, but I've been able to see this domino effect of how her story has impacted other moms. And so that's why we've partnered with Sturi to create these beautiful videos of moms and their real stories and their inspirational stories. And I think when a mom sees that floating around on the internet, it helps them to feel less shame, helps them to feel connected, and helps them to see their stories differently through the eyes of compassion so that they can get the help that they need. And so I'm so excited that we've been able to work with McKenna on her story, because I know that a lot of moms are going to be able to relate. And we partnered with Sturi to continue creating these videos. And with her story, we wanted to do something special. We wanted to do a red carpet event to premiere it, to bring the community together to create awareness and more connection on this topic and raise more money so that we can continue making these videos and helping more moms. So we actually have like a two-part event. We're doing a VIP red carpet formal dinner entertainment auction night. It's on February 8th, and we actually are pretty much sold out of tickets on that. If someone is just dying to participate and really want to be involved in that somehow, please reach out to me via the Emily Effect, and maybe we can figure something out. But I wanted this to be an event that wasn't just, you know, for people, for companies and people maybe who have deeper pockets, but it's just as important to me to create a community among moms and support them. So that's why we're doing a general admission night on February 15th, and it will be at Riverbridge Event Center in Spanish Fork. Both events will be at Riverbridge Event Center. And tickets for this one are only $25. We've had so much, we've had food donated. We're going to have Bam Bam's barbecue, churros, all kinds of stuff. And we're going to come together, as women and as spouses and friends, whoever wants to come, and we'll premiere McKenna's video. We'll have a Q&A panel where people can ask questions and that we can have a discussion on this topic. And we're going to have fun. We're going to have music. We're going to just hang out and make it really lighthearted too. There will also be raffles and auctions at both events as well. So there's something for everybody. Again, this was just really important for me to be able to involve everybody. But at the end of the day, I hope moms leave feeling connected and that those who aren't moms leave knowing how to support the mothers in their lives.
I love that. Okay. Where do people get tickets?
So if you go to the Emily Effect, you'll get a direct link to the Eventbrite page. So the emilyeffect.org. You can also check out our social media pages, Facebook and Instagram. We're posting all about it. Check out our story highlights so that you can get more details and links to the tickets.
Very good.
You want it to be an event where people come and not only, you know, we're sharing heavy stories, right? It can be a little heavy. But we want it to be fun and informative, and people leave feeling inspired and uplifted, not the heaviness of mental health. I think sometimes, like, we want to really encompass a community, uplifting the community.
Yeah, it's going to be so cool. McKenna Brown is a former Mrs. Utah, sharing her story about postpartum mood and anxiety disorders. And then Megan Johnson with the Emily Effect, a great nonprofit here in Utah who's helping to raise awareness for the issue as well. We'll take a break, more with these two on The Mom Show when we come back.
You've joined The Mom Show. Being a mom can be tough sometimes. We try to make it easier. Here's Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us. Talking today about postpartum mood and anxiety disorders. And I want you to notice that I didn't just say we're talking about postpartum depression. That's one of the main messages I like to share here, is that postpartum depression, while it is the one we often hear about, it's not the only mood disorder you can experience postpartum. I personally experienced postpartum anxiety and OCD after the birth of my first. And to be honest, I probably had it with the birth of my second, but I sort of just was like, I know what this is. And it was pretty routine. But I did start medication again when the pandemic started, even though I was a year postpartum, because I think the pandemic really, I had a baby 1 year before the pandemic started. So he was one when we hit 2020. And it was just the stress of, like, the unknown of the pandemic, the worry of COVID, the fear of this invisible illness out there, right? That just kind of triggered me a lot. And I needed a little bit of help to get through that year, as I'm sure we all did, right? So McKenna Brown is a former Mrs. Utah, and she's also sharing her story through a nonprofit here in Utah called The Emily Effect, which is a nonprofit who helps raise awareness for postpartum mood and anxiety disorders. McKenna, I know we shared a little bit of your story. You have four kids, and you say that your postpartum really hit with rage after the birth of your fourth child. We described in the last segment a little bit about that rage, but talk to moms out there about what they should know. I mean, what do you want them to learn from your story?
There, you are not alone, and you are not a bad mom. If you are feeling angry, your kids are exactly who you need. You are the mom that your kids need, and your best is good enough. I love that you brought up medication, because so often it is a very taboo topic to a lot of our society and our community. I want to tell women, the first thing I say is, before you make a call or a decision, educate yourself on all of your options so you can make the best educated choice for yourself. I will say that the chemical science behind medication is real. What I want people to know is the more I understood my brain and the more things work scientifically and how the brain works and how the lobe works and our hippocampus and amygdala really helped me understand that I was not broken. How I was reacting was exactly how my brain is and was wired through experience. And specifically with pregnancy, our bodies, when you're in a trauma response and you're not regulating chemically really efficiently, our bodies do go through a lot. We need to allow ourselves some grace. What medication does do is it takes your brain out of fight, flight, freeze, fawn mode. It lowers it helps with the serotonin levels and helps balance those out. So what happens is your brain can really process information properly, and you can give yourself the most effective tools. What you don't need to fight, you don't need to flight, you don't need to freeze, you don't need to fawn. You need to balance your brain out. And that is what medicine did for me, is it brought me to a place where I could think clearly and take a step back and go, okay, this is how we're going to move forward.
I like to say it slows down the reaction time, right?
100%.
Yeah. So it just slows things down. So instead of, and I still take this medication to this day because I love it.
Me too.
Because it just, I think I just have a brain that is prone to panic. And that's what it does for me. It slows down the reaction time so that I don't spin out in my worries of what ifs and what could happens. And I can't tell you about how many times I think about earthquakes in this darn state.
Like, me too!
I just, like, and you can spin out.
And you really need to, like, what I tell moms is, like, there is a stigma on medication. It's not numbing you and hiding and masking the pain. It's actually calming you down so you can effectively heal.
Yeah, listen,
so
I still cry.
That's a common misconception with medication.
Yeah, I still shed tears on this medication for sure. Like,
I was sobbing last night because of don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it totally does. Slow down the reaction time, prevent me from getting to that panic state so I can actually assess what my thoughts are doing. And most times I can say, oh, this is a what if thought, or oh, this is a I'm panicking a little bit. Okay, let's get back to the present. And what is happening right now? Right now, there is not an earthquake.
Well, and I think that, like, what you were saying, if I could tell moms that don't wait to seek help. If you feel a little off, just message me on Instagram, reach out to the Emily Effect, call your doctor, find a therapist. Like, don't wait till it gets so bad that your life's exploding. Like, oh, I'm feeling a little off, seasonal depression. Okay, my serotonin levels are dropping. My melatonin levels are rising because the sun's not here. Like, there's so much science behind it.
Yeah.
That don't wait. And you're not, and seeking help is strength.
Yeah. It's such a good message and so important. Megan, you guys have an event coming up where you're going to share more about McKenna's story through a video, through Story. I want to hear more about that. How did that come to be? And talk about this video you guys are going to share.
Yeah. So a few years ago, when we came up on the 5-year anniversary of Emily's passing, I just really wanted something that I could share over and over about her story, about the work that we do at the Emily Effect. I felt like that was the most effective way to share our message and continue to have that domino effect. And so luckily I came into contact with Story, and they do such a beautiful job on these stories. And after sharing Emily's story, I just realized, like, the whole point of sharing Emily's story is to create a domino effect, right? I think what Emily's story has done these last 5 years is it's helped moms to see themselves differently and have the courage to reach out and get help. And maternal mental health and the challenges that we go through are, we all fall somewhere around the spectrum, right? And so that's why I think it's so important to continue sharing stories, because even though there's common threads in our stories, each of our stories are so different. And so as we produce and share each story, it's going to hit different moms differently and touch somebody else in a way that maybe another story couldn't. And so McKenna and I had come into contact, you know, through social media and kind of through our joint missions. I know she had been open about her challenges with postpartum depression. And so we decided to partner and create her story because particularly, like we've talked about today, I think the aspect that she experienced with the postpartum rage, talk about one of the most common denominators that I think that most women experience, you know, prenatal and postpartum, is that. And that's something that I wanted to shed more light on. And so I wanted to, you know, share her story so that it could reach moms who were really struggling with that.
It's so important.
Well, so it's a rage is like very isolating and shameful. So I'm excited that she asked me to share that.
It's something to chime in and say that I can relate to too. I know I talk about Emily's story a lot. I've been through my own challenges, postpartum, I have four boys, and I am in the exact same shoes as far as experiencing that rage and it being so out of character for me and it essentially being so traumatizing to me to be to that point. I'm a therapist as well, you know, so talk about all these factors of like, I just picture all these moms and know all these moms that are out there that this rage is so uncharacteristic for them. And that, especially when you're in those moments, and we talked about that out of body experience and lack of control, just how traumatizing that is on so many levels. And I just want to say that if you're experiencing that, that's not you being a bad mom and being inadequate. That's a common experience that a lot of women are having for so many different reasons that we could spend a whole other hour talking about.
Right? It's a symptom of something happening to you. And that is such an important message, because it's not you being broken. It's something is happening to you, and it's real and it's common, and we've all experienced it. And so
it's a sign that it's not a sign of weakness. It's actually just a sign that you need more support.
Yes.
And I love,
I love that.
A sign that you need more support.
So important. Megan Johnson, the event is coming up on February 15th. Where you can come view McKenna's video and then have a great night with these women and get support, get help if you need, or just relate with other women. You can go to the emilyeffect.org to find tickets to this event coming up on February 15th. We'll take a break more with Megan and McKenna when we come back on The Mom Show.
It's the toughest, most important job in the world.
Four kids. If you want to know what it's like to have a fourth, just imagine you're drowning, and then someone hands you a baby.
This is The Mom Show. It's where moms come to learn and share. Our host is Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us. We are discussing postpartum mood and anxiety disorders. It's something I experienced after the birth of my first child. This was some 8 years ago, so I'm pretty far removed from this experience, but it's never left me, because it's something you experience, like, with your first, you're like, wait a second, this is not what motherhood is supposed to look like. I'm not supposed to be suffering. Like, motherhood is hard, but it's not suffering. And so when I started having obsessive thoughts of harm coming to my baby, sometimes at my own hand, that was really, really scary. And we call those, I know now, they're called intrusive thoughts, and they can kind of bombard you out of nowhere. And I think everyone has them, but in that vulnerable postpartum stage, they're truly a symptom, I think, of the postpartum mood disorder. And I actually know now that there is a book out there, and I'm going to blank on the title, but it basically reports that 91% of mothers have intrusive thoughts. Like, I don't know.
Good moms have scary thoughts.
Good moms have scary thoughts. That's what it's called. Yes, it's by Karen Kleiman. Thank you. Good moms have scary thoughts. That's what it's called. And actually, when I was experiencing this, I had a code word with my husband that I would just say elephant. And anytime I said elephant, that meant he needed to ask me if I was having scary thoughts, because I couldn't say them out loud because they were so scary. They were so, because they often involved me harming my child. And what mother, like, it wasn't like I wanted to harm her, right? But it was like this, like, I just thought, like, what if I just do this? Like, what? And they always start with what if, and that's kind of how I knew they were a symptom. They were sort of these just intrusive what if spiraling type of thoughts. And so once I learned what they were, I felt a huge and tremendous sense of relief. And that's why I share my story and hope that other moms can hear and know that if this has happened to them, they're not broken. They just might be having a symptom of a postpartum mood or anxiety disorder. And Megan Johnson is with me. She's with the Emily Effect. It's a nonprofit here that works to educate moms on postpartum mood and anxiety disorders and help women through this, because your sister, Emily Cook Dykes, went through this and actually lost her life to this illness. Megan, share with me a little bit about Emily's story and just also how women recognize if this is happening to them.
Yeah, so Emily experienced postpartum anxiety. It was actually after her fifth and with her other kids. You know, I think she had had some of the typical baby blues, ups and downs, things like that, but never on this level. There were some, you know, traumatic elements to this last birth. And so this anxiety just manifested really quickly in the sense that she was, you know, I think most moms get anxiety about nursing. They're not sleeping. Those were big factors for her, but they were bigger factors than they had been in the past. And we just noticed that this anxiety had increased to the point where she just really wasn't functioning and being herself. And we went through ups and downs for about a year with this, really, you know, kind of trying to fumbling our way through finding her the right help. You know, sometimes being in an emergency situation, you know, going to the hospital, things like that, and kind of grasping for straws. Like that. And, you know, we kind of had pockets of good help, but other times were really frustrating, especially when she was really struggling and we were reaching out in those situations. And so we went through this for about a year, just really up and down. She did, you know, get on medication. She saw a therapist, kind of had some different providers who were helping her at different times. But she would go through these times, it would get better. We kind of get through it and then it would just kind of return and manifest again. It was very, very cyclical for her. And so until about a year later, it returned so bad again to the point that she did need to be hospitalized. And she was in the hospital for about 10 days. And this was, you know, a traumatic, new, scary experience for our family. We hadn't experienced anything like that. And it was a difficult experience for her, having been someone who hadn't experienced a mental health challenge on this level before. So there were, you know, both positives and negatives to that experience, but she came out with some positives and some things that were helpful and determined to move forward. And she had a few good weeks after that. And then sure enough, the anxiety returned a couple weeks later to the point when she was actually riding in the car on the freeway with my dad. She was having a really rough day that day and my parents were helping her. And she had a panic attack while she was in the car, a panic attack, just so severe. And I kind of like to, I've been working on like pausing and explaining this part a little bit better so that people understand, but a panic attack is when your brain is in fight or flight mode because you don't feel safe and you're reacting on that instinctive thing that we were all programmed with to fight or flight when we don't feel safe, to where we're not understanding things clearly and our brain is giving us a warning. And so much was going on for Emily. This anxiety was building and she was dealing with it so much that she was kind of continually going through some of these panic attacks. And this one just reached the level of like, I'm not safe. I got to get out of here. Just not being in her state of mind where she was logical and rational. That's when we're in fight or flight mode, we're not present and we're not logic and reason. And so she had this severe panic attack that to where she felt like she needed to get out of a car. And she was able to do so. My dad, you know, pulled over and she was having this panic attack, trying to help keep her safe, trying to help her stay in the car. But unfortunately, as he pulled over, she was able to get out of the car and just ran up the freeway in this state of panic. And unfortunately, a semi truck came along at that time and hit her. And that's ultimately what took her life.
Oh, my gosh, Meg, it's just so hard. It is so hard to hear because as someone who's been through this, you're like, I've been there, right? I've been there. I've experienced those same feelings. And what stopped me from getting to that point that she couldn't find the help with? And you just like, I just don't know. I mean, and that's why we talk about it. And I know that's why you're out here talking about it, right? Is to inform other mothers that there's help before it can get to this point. But so many people have panic attacks and that's just so scary. What's your advice to women who maybe are triggered by when they hear Emily's story?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm glad you bring that up because that's kind of the double-edged sword of sharing Emily's story, right? Especially for someone who's really struggling. And what I want women out there to know hearing this is that one of the silver linings in sharing Emily's story, especially just here in the state of Utah, is that it's created awareness and it's created a movement that has ignited a lot of change. And so when I talk about how we struggle to find maybe we had good help, but it's really important to find the appropriate specific help for postpartum. That's really important. when women are going through this. And so I'm happy to say that here we are 7 years later. And when people reach out to me and say, my sister's struggling or I'm struggling, I have a handful of resources that I can discount and refer them to and know that they are going to be in good hands, that there are many more professionals and agencies that are maternal mental health focused, and that journey of navigating, finding the right help. And so I want moms out there to know, when you hear Emily's story, and that it's a hard story because it's one that didn't end the way that we wanted it to, that the beauty in her story is that it's helped create change, and that you can have more confidence in reaching out and getting help.
I love that. And I want to point out too that the state of Utah has an amazing resource, and there are women behind the scenes and doctors and professionals here in Utah who have made this come to fruition. There is a website, maternalmentalhealth.utah.gov, where you can mm-hmm. go and type in, you can put your location, you can find a therapist near you, one who specializes in postpartum mood disorders, because I'm thinking right now, like, how did I get help? I didn't even know where to start. I even went into my OB's office and I was like, this is what I'm experiencing. And they just like handed me a card and sent me on my way. I'm like, that's it? That's all we're doing here? And like, the other point is that your OB's not talking to your therapist. There's no network there of like, everybody has your charts, right? So everyone knows kind of where you are in this journey. But maternalmentalhealth.utah.gov is an invaluable resource that really only exists in a handful of states, and Utah's one of them, where you can go in specifically, put your location, find a clinically trained professional near you, find a therapist, one who takes your insurance. You can search by insurance, right? So that's another barrier for women to get help, is they don't have the adequate insurance or any insurance, right? The socioeconomic status often impacts women from getting help, because women in rural Utah, right, don't have the city to help them.
There's more telehealth now. A lot of these agencies I'll throw out there will offer, you know, those telehealth appointments, which is huge.
Yeah, telehealth, because you have kids at home, right? You have kids you're taking care of, and so you can't get away to go see a therapist, right, or get prescribed something. So important. Megan Johnson, the website is The Emily Effect. They have an event coming up that they're previewing the story of McKenna Brown, who is a former Mrs. Utah here in Utah, who also experienced a postpartum mood disorder. We talked with her in the last few segments, and I want you to go watch her story because it's powerful as well. That's happening on February 15th. So if you just go to theemilyeffect.org, you can get tickets to that event. We'll take a break. More with Megan on The Mom Show in just a minute.
Back inside The Mom Show. Dads are welcome, but moms come here to be heard. We're with Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us. I've loved our episode today, just talking about maternal mental health, getting help in Utah, and the signs and symptoms of postpartum and mood and anxiety disorders, which include depression, anxiety, OCD, PTSD. There's even a really scary version of a mood disorder called psychosis. And that is really scary, where you need to seek help right away. Often the stories we hear about infanticide or suicide or homicide involving children, those can be a result of postpartum psychosis. If you're having hallucinations, if you're out of body, which is different than intrusive thoughts. And I'm not a psychologist nor a professional, just a mom who's had this experience. And I've learned a lot along the way. So I share that just to distinguish between these mood disorders. But talking today with Megan Johnson, who is a therapist who does have this experience, and also who runs a nonprofit here in Utah called The Emily Effect, which helps raise awareness for moms with postpartum mood disorders. They have an event coming up. You can go to theemilyeffect.org if you want to watch a premiere of a video of a mom in Utah who's sharing her story, a former Mrs. Utah who experienced this after her fourth baby. Megan, thank you for joining me today. Just talk to me about what should be the first step for moms if they're like, okay, I'm not myself, I'm experiencing depression, or maybe I'm very anxious, I'm having these thoughts of, what if I do something to my baby? I know this is not me. I'm having some of this rage, this postpartum rage that's a real symptom and very often very not talked about, right? What should women do?
It's interesting because my answer to this has actually changed a little bit the last few times I've been asked this question, because it was always reach out and get help, tell a loved one. And that's still one of the first steps. But I think a lot of women struggle to do that because they don't, number one, like understand what's happening to them. They don't understand the biology and the different dynamics in our relationship and what it means to have a baby and how it impacts us in so many different ways in our lives. And so women feel a lot of shame, and that's why they don't tell their partner, because, well, what are they going to think? Or what if I tell my doctor, and are they going to take my baby? You know, all of these kind of things. And so my first step that I would encourage is to educate yourself a little bit. And most importantly, to see yourself through the eyes of compassion, to see yourself as somebody who is experiencing something that maybe isn't necessarily normal, but that is actually common and that has an explanation because of all of the different challenges that it can accompany pregnancy and postpartum. And I think that women need to do that so that they can then take that step when they can see themselves as somebody who needs more support, somebody who is not to blame, and someone who's just experiencing something as a result of all of these different factors going on. They can then say, okay, like I can reach out and talk to somebody because this isn't my fault, and this is something that deserves help and support. And so from there, you know, talk to those you trust, whether that's a partner, whether that's a friend. The most important step is to tell someone that you trust, because through that, they can help you get the help that you need and maybe help you in the way that you are feeling overwhelmed with to get that help.
And I love that you say tell someone you can trust, because if you tell the wrong person, it could go the wrong way. And by the wrong person, I mean somebody who might panic and say, oh my gosh, we got to get you to the hospital right away. Like, that may not be the right person to tell. Or telling someone who might just cause more harm than good.
Maybe minimize or not.
Yeah. Or
not
tell
understand
you to,
what's happening.
Tell
yeah.
you to buck up. Right?
Yeah,
like, exactly. Like our moms are great, but if you have a mother that's like, oh, you'll be fine, honey, don't worry about it, just get a little more sleep, or, you know, like minimizing the experience, like telling a spouse or telling a girlfriend or telling even a professional can dismiss your symptoms, right? I mean, you really do have to go to the right person. And everyone has that person in their lives, or those people, right, who they trust. And for me, I think that would be my spouse, somebody, you know, to say, no, something's really off here, honey. I need you to, you know, help me or something like that. I think he knows me well enough to know when things aren't right. So I do think that person, that needs to be the right person. That's really important.
Multiple people too, right? It can be multiple people. Surround yourself with a support system and you know, let a variety of people step in and help and support you
as
well.
I'll also point out, it could be a stranger. Maybe sometimes people that are too close to us might tell us to buck up or tell us, like, just like, you know, they're too close to the experience to know that you need outside help. But somebody like, you're just talking to a girlfriend, you know, that you maybe casually know, or even you see a mom on Instagram who shares her story and you're like, that is what is happening to me. You know, just even that relief of telling somebody might bring you some relief. And that person obviously is going through it, so they may have, you know, more capacity to see it for what it is.
Exactly. That's a great point.
Yeah. Okay. Megan Johnson is with The Emily Effect. The website is theemilyeffect.org. They have an event coming up where they're sharing the story of a mother named McKenna Brown, who's a former Mrs. Utah here in the state. And she experienced postpartum, a lot of rage, she said, after the birth of her fourth child. This all kind of came to a head for her. And you think about a beauty queen, a beauty pageant expert experiencing a postpartum mood disorder. That's a powerful story. That's a story that really needs to be shared. So on February 15th, you can go see McKenna's video. Megan, give us all the details about where people can find tickets and what to expect that night.
Yeah, so tickets, you can just go to theemilyeffect.org and it will link you to Eventbrite, where you can purchase your tickets. This is a night to come together as a community, to have some good food. We're having, you know, we've had lots of food donated, and we will be having a Q&A panel after we watch McKenna's story. We'll also be sharing Emily's story. So it'll be nice to interact. Come have your questions answered. Come interact with other women. We'll have, you know, music. There will be a lighthearted feel to this. There, you know, it can be a heavy topic, but we have some fun things planned for the night too, to just come and interact and connect. We'll have raffles so you can, you know, take home some fun prizes and things as well. So there's just something for everybody, but mostly just an opportunity to connect and support. And whether you need that support or, you know, to be able to walk away, knowing how you can better support the women in your lives.
I love that. The emilyeffect.org is where you can get tickets. Megan Johnson, thank you so much for joining me today. And hopefully this conversation is just going to help moms know they're not alone. And if they're experiencing this, they can get help. Just message me. I'll point you towards Megan, and Megan can get you in touch with a therapist. Or I'd also recommend the website maternalmentalhealth.utah.gov. That is a state-run website that has links to trained professionals here in the state of Utah. So it's so great. Megan, always good to chat.
Definitely. I always appreciate being on here and having this conversation.
You bet. We'll talk soon. We'll be back next week on The Mom Show.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.